Our Bibles tonight and go to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 2. So Acts chapter 2. And we're going to be in verses 42 through 47. So Acts chapter 2 and verses 42 through 47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Father, we ask that you would bless our time tonight. Lord, thank you for the songs we have sung about the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, your faithfulness, and the fact that we do serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has the rightful crown upon his head, Father, who is worthy of all honor, glory, and praise. And Father, we do thank you for the truth of your word, that it truly is a lamp unto our feet, and it's a light unto our path, guiding us throughout our life. Lord, giving us the wisdom that we need, the discernment we need as well. Thank you, Father, for just the promises that we can build our life upon. Thank you, Father, for the encouragement we get from your word and even being challenged and many, many times convicted, Lord, by the truth of your word. Father, we ask that you would bless our time together tonight. Just encourage us through your word. Lord, convict our hearts, challenge us, helping us to continue following you faithfully because you're always faithful to us. Father, we thank you for it and ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. Tonight I want to talk to us about continuing steadfast. Twice in these verses here, it says that these disciples, along with the apostles, continued steadfastly in the things that they had learned from Christ. The disciples were continuing steadfastly in the Word of God. Here it says the apostles' doctrine, speaking about the Word of God because they were teaching what they had learned from Christ, teaching the Word of God, the fellowship and the breaking of bread. In the early church, they were determined to continue in the things that they had heard, the things they had learned, continuing in their relationship with the Lord and in their faith. And it was during a time of persecution. It was during a time of hardship in their lives. But they had found that their Savior was always faithful, and their Savior would continue to be faithful to them, giving them the grace to endure the life that they were living, and they were determined to remain steadfast. In our day and age that we live in, we want to, as God's people, continue steadfastly in the things that we have not only heard, things we have learned through the Word of God, remaining steadfast in fellowshipping together, in having communion together, all these things that are listed here, even being steadfast in our sacrifice to one another as we serve one another and help one another as we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. The word steadfast means to be firm in purpose, unwavering. And when it says in verse 42, they continued steadfastly. They were firm in their purpose as a body of believers, and they were unwavering in their faith. There's also a word that is called consistent. They were consistent in their faith, consistent in the teachings of Christ. They were consistent in joining together in accomplishing God's will through the church. And the definition for consistent is to hold firmly together, constantly adhering to the same principles. When it speaks about the church here continuing steadfast, it's exactly what they did. They were steadfast in the doctrines of Jesus Christ, and they were steadfast in fulfilling God's purpose and God's will for them and sharing the love of Christ, not only among themselves, but throughout the region as they would be scattered abroad through the persecution of Stephen in Acts chapter 6. But yeah, I want to encourage us tonight just to continue in your relationship with the Lord. Continue learning the doctrines of the Bible. Continue walking with the Lord, adhering to God's will for your life, surrendering and yielding on a daily basis to the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. And at the end, we will find ourselves continuing to do exactly what the beginning of verse 47 says, praising God. Praising God and having favor with all the people. Praising God and having favor. It's all about praising the Lord in the life that he's given us. In John chapter 8 and 31, the Bible says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Again, God challenges us tonight to continue steadfastly in the word of God, continue steadfastly in our walk with the Lord and yielding our life to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Several things that we see in these verses tonight, beginning in verse number 42, is the fact that they continued steadfastly in the doctrine. In the doctrine. Look at verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship in breaking of bread and in prayers. But starting with the doctrine, they continued steadfastly. You and I have to hold on to the truth. The truth that has been given to us by God through his word. We live in a day and age where, again, not everything that has the name Holy Bible on it, not every book that says Holy Bible is truly the word of God. There are many counterfeits out there that have taken the word blood out of it. There are many religions that don't speak about the blood. They don't sing about the blood. And I was very thankful that our song leader tonight did not skip out on verse number 3 of that song that speaks about the blood of Jesus Christ. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. The blood of Jesus Christ covers our sin, cleanses us, makes us white as snow. Yet though your sins will be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow, the Bible tells us. So continuing in doctrine, and doctrine is the truth of God's word. He told the disciples again that if they would continue in his word, then they truly would be his disciples. But the one doctrine that's very important that many have gone astray from, and many even have changed the definition of it and changed the use of it, is the doctrine of salvation. Like I even mentioned this morning, God has not changed the plan of salvation, and he never will. There's one way of salvation, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now tonight, you're saved and on your way to heaven, but there's so much more to the doctrine of salvation. Some people need assurance of salvation because at different times we struggle. Am I saved or not? Because I keep doing the things I don't want to do. I keep getting angry at things. I keep, you know, letting my mouth get the best of me, you know, letting words come out of my mouth before I speak. The Lord understands we're still sinful, all right? It's no excuse. Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But the doctrine of salvation, though, because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Paul would go from town to town, city to city, preaching Jesus Christ, seeing people saved, establishing churches everywhere he went. And he wrote a letter back to the believers at Galatia saying, "Have ye become so foolish in walking away from the truth?" Because there were Judaizers, there were those that would come behind Paul to try to sabotage what Paul had established in the different cities he had gone to. And they would come, these Judaizers would come along behind Paul and those that had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They would tell him, "Okay, you're saved now, but now you got to be circumcised. Now you got to keep the law. Now you got to adhere to the teachings of Moses to prove that you're saved, to keep your salvation." So as you and I are saved, we have to continue learning the doctrines, continue learning what the Bible says, continue learning about salvation and the whole scope of salvation. Yes, it is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's so much to salvation because there's sanctification, There's glorification. It's the Lord Jesus Christ being lifted up in my life, as John the Baptist would say, he must increase, but I must decrease. Never stop learning what God has for you to learn in his word. Never stop studying your Bible. There are some good commentaries out there. There are some good books out there written by Christians, men and women. But we got to be careful that we do not start taking the teachings of men and women and holding that up at a higher esteem than the pure word of God that's been given to us by God himself. As God would ordain men throughout the centuries and have them write scripture and it be all collected together and put into a book for you and for me so we could be established in our faith. Again, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly. Doctrine was a priority for them. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. As John sadly writes about those that were a part of their church, but then they left because they did not agree with the doctrines. They went out and started teaching heresy. And I've been in churches. I've been a part of a church where people sat under the teaching and preaching of the truth of God's word, and then they would leave following after false doctrine, following after things that were heresy, and they believed with all their heart that it was true, and they would leave. Again, the truth will make you free. The truth will set you free. God will never lead you into darkness. His word is light, and it enlightens us as we continue to study it, as we continue to read it, as we continue to meditate upon it. But also the doctrine of the apostles are the word of God. They gave doctrine to, they continued steadfastly in the doctrine of salvation as well as the teaching of God's word. Here it says apostles' doctrine, but the apostles didn't have their own doctrine. What they taught is what they learned from Christ. For this cause, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul writes to Timothy, saying, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Again, the Bible does tell us that the word of God is complete. It is profitable for everything in our life. It helps us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. They gave themselves continually, steadfastly to the word of God, to not only what they had learned, but they acted like the Bereans that would be mentioned later that searched the scriptures to see if what they were hearing Paul teach was actually in the word of God. Never find yourself at a place where you just believe what someone says because they have the title of a pastor. I have told people before, I've even said it behind this pulpit, don't take my word for it. Search the scriptures. See what God says. Because I'm just a man, and sometimes I may misquote something. Sometimes I may take it out of context, not purposely. I mean, I'll admit it, because we are not infallible like God. But we have the Holy Spirit that is to teach us, to guide us. Because remember, the devil can take scripture and twist it. The devil took the word of God and tried to use it against Jesus Christ in the wilderness to try to get Jesus to act against God's will when he took him up to the pinnacle of that temple and said, cast yourself down because it is written. Even the devil knows scripture, and he quoted it to Christ, but he was quoting it out of context. He was twisting it, trying to get Christ to act against the Father's will. Again, the Garden of Eden, he simply said, yea, hath God said. Now, we don't we're not perfect. Again, we're not infallible. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, but he's given us of the Holy Spirit to guide us, to teach us, to lead us into all truth. Never stop studying the Word of God. Never stop studying the doctrine. Once you know it, continue to study it. They continued steadfastly so they wouldn't be led astray. The devil is never going to stop trying to lead you or me or any child of God astray. Until he's thrown into the lake of fire, he will continue to try to deceive, to try to lie to, get you to believe a lie. Even though it may have the name Jesus attached to it, even though the book may say the Holy Bible, that's why God tells us in his word, try the spirits. Don't just believe everything you hear or everything you read or every book, every music that comes out, every movie that comes out. Like I said this morning, don't allow yourself to get your theology from Hollywood as they produce biblical movies that are not biblically sound. Again, the devil wants to change the mind of people against Christ, even change the minds of God's people against the truth. But again, they continued steadfastly in doctrine. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, again, he says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." The word of God works in you. As we read it, as we hear it, it affects our heart. It changes us. It helps us to be more conformed into the image of Christ as the Holy Spirit takes the word of God into our heart and accomplishes the Father's will. The second thing I want you to see that they were dedicated to and they continued steadfastly in, look at the second part of verse 42. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers." They were devoted in their devotions. They were devoted in their devotion. They were devoted in fellowship because it says they continued steadfastly in fellowship. Again, they all had different personalities, but they all had Christ. That was the common bond that they had, was Jesus Christ. And they continued steadfastly in fellowship. You know what that means? It means if you have somebody else wanting to badmouth somebody else in the church, you don't just take their word for it. You go and find out. Without taking sides, hey, so-and-so is saying this. Is it true? Because you want to give the other person an opportunity to defend themselves. But if you also know that someone is saying something that's not true, you have the right to say, you know what, that's not true. Because again, the devil does. Remember Jesus gave the example. I'm not saying that's happening here. I'm just giving you this example because the devil wants to tear families apart, tear congregations apart. And what he does is he will sow tares among the wheat. God's people are considered the wheat. Remember, Jesus gives that analogy with the husbandmen who had some servants and they sowed the fields and up came the wheat, but also up came the tares or the weeds. And the servants came to the husbandmen, the master, and said, "Didn't you sow good seed? I mean, there's tares growing up among the wheat." And then they asked, "Do you want us to go and rip out the tares?" And the husbandman, the master said, "No, because you start tearing the tares out and you're going to rip up some of the weed as well." God knows how to deal with, as the Bible calls them, busybodies. He knows how to deal with those that are trying to sow strife among God's people. Again, the devil wants to destroy the work of God. He wants to cause division among God's people. He wants to cause division in marriages and in families. But they were steadfast. They continued steadfast in the word of God, which helped them to have the wisdom of God, the discernment of God, to know what was right, what was wrong, who was trying to sow seeds of doubt, who was trying to sow seeds of division. And sometimes it may not even be somebody in the church talking about somebody else. It may be somebody finds out something about somebody else, and they hold on to that, and they become bitter against that person. I've mentioned this before. You may not have heard it, but there was a pastor in Nebraska years ago that he became the pastor there, and there was a member of the church that came to him and said, "Pastor, I'd like to meet with you. I have something I need to share with you." Pastor's like, "Sure," you know, not knowing what it would be. And this church member pulled out his wallet and took a newspaper clipping out of his wallet and showed it to the pastor. And there was another church member's name in the newspaper clipping. And because it's a small town, and the last church I was at was a small town, and anything anybody does ends up in the newspaper. If someone's speeding through town, their name is in the newspaper, how fast they were going, how much the ticket is, all that. So in this small town, Nebraska, this other church member had filed bankruptcy. So that was in the newspaper. Well, the church member that's holding on to the newspaper clipping disagreed with anybody claiming bankruptcy to get rid of their debt. Agree or disagree, whatever a person does in their personal life is between them and God. Unless they're teaching heresy, unless they're doing some criminal activity, understand? But this one church member had so much bitterness in his heart because this other church member did something he disagreed with. He never went and talked to this church member. He just held on to the newspaper clipping, shows it to the pastor, and this other man who filed the bankruptcy, he's serving God, he's happy, and yet the one man is full of bitterness, and he ends up leaving the church at some point. What I'm saying is the devil wants to, any way he can, he wants to sow strife among God's people. He wants us to be filled with bitterness towards somebody else in the church. And we have to, if we will continue soundly in the doctrine, in the studying of God's word, we will continue to see Jesus continue to show grace to those who were wrong. You remember the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery? Somehow the Pharisees were able to catch her in the very act. I'm still puzzled at that they caught her in the very act. How did they know? Maybe who she was with was a Pharisee. I don't know. But I always find that strange that they caught her in the very act. They bring her to Jesus in the temple. They throw her down at his feet and say, "Moses, the law, says because of her sin, she must die. But what do you say?" And if you remember the account, Jesus kind of ignores them, starts writing in the sand. Then he lifts himself up and says, "Well, whoever of you does not have sin, cast the first stone at her." And the Bible records that he stoops back down and he continues writing in the sand. I've always wondered, is he writing the name of the one that was having an affair with her? And it was one of the men standing there? I don't know. Bible doesn't say. But though all of her accusers were so convicted that they left. And when Jesus looks up again, the only one that's standing there is the woman. Her accusers aren't there. And he says, "Does no man condemn thee?" She says, "No man," because they all left. And she hears the wonderful words of Christ, "Neither do I. I don't condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Grace. Because the wonderful thing about a family, we all have different personalities. We all, you know, again, we've got to be careful. God does not condone sin. But there are decisions that you will make in your life that others don't agree with, and vice versa. The best thing to do is to talk to that person, or just to admit to yourself, you know what, I don't agree with them and what they're doing. It's not sin. It's just not the way I would do it. That's between them and God. Why let bitterness destroy you when it's not destroying that other person? Again, that's why they continued steadfastly, because the Word of God, dwelling richly in the hearts of God's people, will continue to teach us how to have love and grace for one another. It will help us to be devoted in our fellowship, that, you know what, we don't want anybody to be ill affected by the devices of the devil. Again, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Not according to what I think, but what Christ Jesus, how would Christ Jesus deal with somebody that I disagree with? Well, he would love them and he would show them grace, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. They were devoted continually in their fellowship with one another, but they were devoted also in breaking of bread. Notice what it says in verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the word of God, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread. That breaking of bread speaks of communion, speaks of the Lord's table. It speaks of having a reverence for remembering the death of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what the Lord's table is. When we partake in the Lord's table, it is to remind us of what the Lord did. He shed his blood for the sins of the world. He shed his blood for my sin, for your sin. We're cleansed by the blood. And we continue steadfastly together in our devotion to that. That's what our faith is built upon, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is what is to motivate us in our life to serve him. It is what is to challenge us to continue to be faithful to our Savior, being devoted. Again, it's not up to me. It's not up to you or anybody else to make sure somebody else is devoted. It's up to me to make sure I stay devoted, because people will come, people will go. People will disagree, people will agree on different things. But it's up to you to remain steadfast, to continue steadfast in the doctrines of God's word, to remain saying, you know what, I'm going to remain steadfast in the fellowship with God's people. Somebody else may not. Somebody else may get mad. I've been in the ministry long enough. I've been on this side of the fence of the ministry long enough, I realize not everybody's going to agree with me. Not everybody's going to like me. People are going to walk away. Because I was on the other side of the fence of ministry, not seeing, you know, what goes on behind the scenes, just being a layman in the pew, thinking everybody loves everybody because everybody has Christ. But then when I went into the ministry, I realized not everybody loves everybody. But what is it that I'm going to allow to affect me ill for my Savior? It shouldn't be anything. Whatever somebody else chooses to do should not affect how I remain faithful to my faithful God. I may disagree with what they're doing, but that should not affect my heart, my mind, my mouth, my actions as I continue to serve him. And that's the mindset that these believers had. They continued steadfastly with a common goal, and that was to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ so others would be drawn to Christ. They were devoted in the breaking of bread, the communion. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Remembering, we're gathered together because of Jesus Christ. We only have eternal life because of Jesus Christ. We only have a common bond as believers because of Jesus Christ. But they were also devoted in their prayers. Again, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Praying together, not just separately, but coming together and praying together like we do on Wednesday nights. The Bible says in Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. The devil, your adversary, hates God's people praying. Because the devil knows that when God's people pray, their God's ear is open to their prayers, and God will come to their defense. God will come to their aid. God will supply their need. God will give them the boldness they need to continue to be a light in a very dark world. They were devoted in their prayers. I want you to notice the third thing, though, their dedication. The dedication to what they knew was true, they were persistent in it. Look at verse 43 through 44. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. They were dedicated. They were dedicated in what they did. They had all things common. Now, God's not calling us today. This is what they did. They sold what they had to provide for one another, to meet the needs for each other. God does show us people who need something, who need a need met. They need some type of provision. But the greatest thing about it is that they had such a love for one another, they were looking for a way to serve one another. They were looking for a way to be a help to somebody else. Because remember, Jesus said, how will they know? How will the outsiders, how will the world know that we truly are the disciples of Christ if we have love one for another? If there's strife and bitterness among God's people, it doesn't show the love of Christ. Because the love of Christ, it's a sacrificial love. It's an unconditional love. It's a gracious, forgiving love. This dedication they had was persistent because they were dedicated to reverencing God. Because notice, he says, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. That glorifies God. It shows our reverence to God, because God has given life to those that are among us. God has given salvation to those among us. We are in the family of God. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Verse 46 says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God. So again, they were dedicated through reverence, reverencing God in the things that they did and how they served one another and treated one another. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. You understand, when the apostles, when they performed the miracles that they did, it wasn't of their own power. It was the power of God through them. God was being reverenced in their life as they would serve people. Remember when Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer, and there was that lame man laid there daily at the gate that was called Beautiful. And all Peter had to offer him, he didn't have any silver or gold. He had no money to give the man, but he wasn't going to just walk by without sharing with him the mighty power of Jesus Christ. Because he says to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. They had a common bond, and that was to share Christ, to see lives changed, to see families helped, children reared in the admonition of the Lord. They wanted people to know that Jesus Christ was alive, and it showed through their bondness. It showed through their fellowship. It showed through their persistence. Even though they were being persecuted, even though they were being told by religious leaders to be quiet and not to mention the name of Christ, yet through the boldness of the Holy Spirit, they would continue to be dedicated and devoted to the things that they not only heard, but the things they had learned through the teachings of Christ, and they would continue until the day they would meet the Lord face to face to be dedicated. Not only were they dedicated through reverence, reverencing God in their life and the things they did, but also in their sacrifices. You know, because God considers your prayers a sacrifice. He considers your giving, whether it's giving to the church, giving to somebody else, he considers it a sacrifice. Because he knows that especially if you're not rich. I don't think there's any millionaires in here, are there? But you think, God considers everything you do with a humble heart a sacrifice. It doesn't matter if all someone has is two pennies, and that's what they give in the offering plate. Because remember, the Bible records Jesus was sitting in the temple over against the treasury watching people come in. And the Bible records that he saw the rich, he saw those that gave out of their abundance, and he wasn't condemning them, but he took more notice of the widow woman who came in, and he said she gave all she had by throwing in two mites. And in that time, two mites would have been considered as 1.5 pennies in our time. She didn't really give anything that could accomplish anything. What can you buy even with two pennies? I mean, when I was a kid, I don't know if they still have them. When I was a kid, they had the little, you know, gumball machines, but it was not the gumballs. It was the little square ones that, you know, you put a penny in, you could get, you know, quite a few, right? If you wanted a big gumball, you had to put in 25 cents. So you probably, you know, with a penny, you could, you know, for a child, but for an adult, what can I do with a penny? I can't pay any bills with it. I can't buy any food with a penny. But the Lord took notice because it wasn't about the amount she gave, it was with the heart. She was trusting God to provide for her. She just wanted to reverence her Lord. She wanted to be a part of giving to God, a part of worshiping God, a part of being in the church. So these people, when it says that they sold and they gave to everybody's need, that's what the love of God does in a person's life. It changes their outlook. It changes their perspective on life. It helps us to see, as we continue to study the Word of God and allow the Word of God to dwell richly, it continues to help us to show grace, to show love, and to respect one another. Even if we disagree with one another, we still respect one another because, you know what? That's a child of God. That is a child of God. They are my brother. They are my sister in Christ. But they were dedicated in their sacrifices in serving others. Look at verse 45. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily, and there's that word continuing daily with one accord. They had unity. They were dedicated in their unity among themselves in one accord. In the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Singleness of heart speaks of, again, humbleness. No one thinking they were better than anybody else. Unfortunately, you will have somebody think that they are better than somebody else. You'll have somebody always think that, well, I deserve that position. I deserve this. Remember when we read on, there was a man by the name of Barnabas who went and sold some of land that he owned and brought the full price to the apostles, gave it to them to distribute however it needed to be distributed among the people. You know, who had a need. He didn't want to be the one. He wanted the church to be the one to distribute it however it could. He wasn't looking for recognition. He wasn't looking for a pat on the back. He wasn't looking for his name on a plaque. My name doesn't need to be on anything in the church building. I've known of churches that when someone gives, they'll put their name on the plaque and put it on whatever it is. I mean, I get the Bible says to give honor to whom honor is due. But the only name that needs to be lifted up in the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. Barnabas was known as the son of consolation. He wasn't looking for recognition. He just gave it, and you guys do with it how you believe God would have you deal it out to people. But then there was a husband and wife by the name of Ananias and Sapphira who went and sold a portion of their land, but only brought half the price, only brought, you know, half of the profits, a portion of the profits, which, what if they can do whatever they want? But the problem with them is they came having in their heart deception. They brought the money to the apostles. The husband came first, brought the money, but the Holy Spirit of God had revealed that it was deception. Because Peter points out, Ananias, why hath Satan caused thee to lie? Lie in thine heart. Was not the price, was not the land yours and the price of it yours? Do whatever you want with it. But because him and his wife came up with the scheme that, hey, we'll just take a portion of it, but we'll tell them that this is what we sold it for. We'll pretend like we're bringing all the profit. Because they wanted to look good. They wanted a pat on the back. They wanted the people to think, wow, what great sacrifice. Forgetting that God knows, it's not about what we give. It's about with the heart that we give, how we serve people with a right heart, with a loving heart, a gracious heart, a forgiving heart. And as we do worship God through our tithes and offerings and even singing, that it's out of a pure, sincere heart. And God considers it a sacrifice, serving others and having humility. As he goes on to say, they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. They were dedicated in praising God because everything they had was all because of God. And really, the riches of this world do not compare to the riches of eternity. Doesn't compare to the richness of the gift of salvation that you and I have. But if we don't continue, steadfastly in the doctrines of God's word, allowing it to teach us, allowing it to change our thinking. Go to Romans chapter 12 real quick. Because the only thing in this world that should be influencing God's people is his word. We should not be allowing the things of this world to influence us and how we're going to live our life for the Lord. Now again, what you do and what I do is between us and the Lord. In regards to how you live your life. There are so many discussions among Christians. There's so many debates among Christians. There's so many disagreements among Christians. How you should dress, what music you should listen to. Can you drink alcohol? Can you do this? Can you not? If we truly are given over to the Holy Spirit of God, who Jesus said it was expedient for him to leave so the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, could come. Guess what? He said the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth, right? The Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. So I believe that if we really do allow ourselves to be given over to the Word of God, let the Word of God dictate to us, how am I to live? How am I to treat others? How am I supposed to respond to difficulties and persecutions? How am I supposed to treat somebody I disagree with? We'll find throughout Scripture that we are to walk in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And when we're walking in the Spirit, we're going to find ourselves living exactly how God wants us to. Because God has called us to come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. The world has to see a difference between them and God's people. There has to be a difference that is noticeable, that they're like, I disagree with them. But I can definitely tell they've been with Jesus. Because that is what was said of Peter and John. It was said that they were ignorant men by the Pharisees, but they also said, but the Bible says they took knowledge they had been with Jesus. Though they were not like the Pharisees did not like them, they could not deny the power of Christ in their life. Because it was the power of Christ that caused the lame man to walk. It wasn't Peter. It wasn't Peter's eloquent words that he said, silver and gold have I none, such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. I'm not eloquent with my speech. I can't even come up with a poem. I borrow poems from everybody else, right? Roses are red, violets are blue, I love you, right? I mean, it's not an original with me because I'm not eloquent. I can't think up things like that, but I hope and pray that people would see Christ in me. And I will admit, not all the time have they. I'm human. I've gotten upset. I've said things that, with a rough tone, I probably shouldn't have said. But again, it goes right back to, but I'm not going to give up letting God change me into the image of Christ. I'm not going to give up letting Him shine in my life and through my life. Again, in Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service because of what He's done for us. It is our reasonable service to give our life to the Lord and say, Lord, you change me how you want me to be. You change my thinking. You change what I think is right and wrong into what you say is right and wrong. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. The devil wants to conform. I'll say this. The devil wants to reconform you back to the ways of the world. And he does it through music, through movies, TV shows, the culture. And God's people have been called to be separate. The disciples, the believers in Acts chapter 2, were continuing steadfast in the doctrines that they had learned and in their relationship with the Lord and in humbly yielding themselves to the ways of God. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Doesn't matter what I think. What matters is what God says. Doesn't matter if I agree with someone using the man in Nebraska who files for bankruptcy. What matters is, am I right with God? Do I have bitterness in my heart? Am I continuing in fellowship with God's people through the Spirit of God, through the Spirit of grace, and through the Spirit of love? Again, a strong church, regardless of the number of people, a strong church is a church that's given wholly over to Jesus Christ and His Spirit and His Word and His ways. A strong believer is someone who gives themselves wholly to the ways of God, to the doctrines of God, to His Word, allowing it to change us, allowing it to change our thinking. Because I want to be that living sacrifice that's acceptable to God. And a living sacrifice that is acceptable to God is one that is like Isaac when Abraham took his son up to Mount Moriah because God asked him to sacrifice him, to give him back to God. You know the account in the Old Testament. Isaac was the promised son, not Ishmael, but Isaac. And then God says, the son you love, give him back to me. You realize when you read that account, you find that Abraham was quick to obey. He rose up early in the morning. He gathered up the stuff, the wood, the fire, everything, servants. He heads off with Isaac, sees the mountain, tells his servants to wait here. Him and Isaac, they start going up the mountain. Isaac says, Father, where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb? Isaac already knew about sacrificing to God, but he didn't see the lamb. He knew that there should be a lamb. And his father says, out of love, God will provide himself a lamb. We don't know what happened. We don't know what was in Isaac's heart. What was in his mind? What was he thinking when he's watching his father build an altar, put the wood in order, and then asks Isaac to be the sacrifice. Because you read that in the scripture where he binds Isaac and puts him on the altar. Abraham's over 100 years old. Isaac is a young, strapping man. He could have ran from his father. But apparently he didn't. Apparently he realized that it was God's will for him to give his life. Now, obviously, God was testing Abraham. But I want you to understand that somehow Isaac willingly allowed himself to be tied up and put on the altar. Because then when Abraham has the knife in the air, as the Bible records, God speaks out of heaven and says, Abraham, Abraham, don't harm the child. Don't harm your son. Can you imagine the relief that flooded Abraham's heart? Like, oh, whew, thank you, Lord. I mean, I trusted you because the Bible says that Abraham believed that God could raise him from the dead, could raise Isaac from the dead. So he wasn't, you know, if this is what God wants, then God must be going to do something great, and God did. He did something great in Abraham's life. But Isaac was willing to be that living sacrifice. He was willing to let his life be laid on the altar and whatever God wanted. And guess what? God provided a substitute. You know the account as God stops Abraham. Abraham looks behind him and there's a ram caught in the thicket, caught in the bush by his horns. God had already provided it. Why didn't Abraham see the ram before? Maybe he did and said, well, I'll help the ram later. I don't know. But at this point, he sees the ram and he offers the ram in the place of Isaac. Obviously, that's a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ being that sacrifice, being the substitute for you and me. That is the common bond that God's people have, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that is what should continue to compel us to live a life that is sanctified, set apart for God's use, not allowing the devil to have any room in our life anymore through bitterness, unforgiveness, through things that are changing our mind, changing our vision from what God has given us, causing us to think like the world thinks, but truly giving ourselves continually steadfast in the things that God's given us, letting our life glorify Him, exhort the Lord Jesus Christ, and be a help and blessing to other people.